Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back for hour number two of Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. WHB koozies, Miller Lite koozies. You can register for a chance to win a retro Coca-Cola cooler at the Westlake Ace Hardware stores, both here in Leavenworth and Westport. Those are the only two places. It is sponsored by Coca-Cola. It looks fantastic. It's not a cooler like the cooler you take to the, you know, to your tailgate or the backyard deck or anything like that. It's a big metal box with the classic Coca-Cola logos on it, and looks like something you'd find like in the movie Christmas Story, maybe in somebody's kitchen or living room around their old TV. So get out to Westlake Ace Hardware today and come and see us in Leavenworth, Kansas. Lots of good folks have been stopping by. Folks are excited about the Royals again after winning five of the last seven games. Jorge Soler getting more and more fans by the game, and the folks have been stopping by to tell us all about that. Also, we're going to have the Barbecue Fest starting today from 11 to 2. You're all invited. You can all come out. The barbecue unit is set up right next to our broadcast location, and we're outside. So when you pull up, you'll see us there under the big red and white umbrella, and they're going to get the barbecue going here in about 45 minutes, and you can swing by and pick up some good stuff there as well. Speaking of good stuff is happening for our good friend Seth Kaiser, formerly of Arrowhead Pride, now covers the Chiefs and does video analysis for The Athletic KC. First of all, Seth, a very hearty congratulations. I know how hard you work on this stuff, and you're a lawyer and a minister. You do everything, and good things happen to people who work hard, and you've worked hard, and you deserve this opportunity, my friend.
Oh, that's really kind of you to say. I'm super excited. This has been a crazy week and a half, but it's been really, really, really great getting going, and feels like it's been like 7 or 8 years of work to get to this point, and now I can just hear my inner monologue going, now don't screw it up.
Well, tell me, Seth, before we drill down into the Chiefs draft here, what is the Athletic and the Athletic KC doing other than stealing all of the good writers? I know Rustin Dodd jumped over there a few weeks ago to cover the Royals and has put some good stuff up there, but there must be something in the sales pitch to get all these high-quality writers to join them. What is it?
Well, you know, for me, what was the most appealing when they approached me was their attitude about sports coverage, about the idea that with everything being click-based, you know, so you have all your advertisements and that kind of stuff, really what you find in most sports media coverage, unfortunately, is clickbait, right? You know,
correct.
Three ways why, you know, this person's awful, just, you know, you'll never believe what we have, that kind of stuff. And their approach was, when you even just Google The Athletic and you take a look, it says, go beyond the box score. And that is, if anyone, you know, if you follow my work at all, that's like my mantra. Go
beyond
the box
score. Absolutely it is.
And so their big thing is they want to cover sports in a deeper way, in a more complete way than anyone else is. And that's a great pitch for someone like me, because that's my ultimate goal, is to help people understand the game a little bit better, so they love it a little bit more, because that's exactly what happened for me when I started to understand the game a little bit better. And so that's what we're doing. The goal is to just provide a depth of coverage that you can't get anywhere else. And, you know, you talk about the Royals. If you look at the work Rustin Dodd's doing there on that, or if you look at the work that Nate Taylor's doing on the Chiefs draft, I mean, they are providing stuff that you literally just can't get anywhere else. And I love that as an overall goal, is to provide sports coverage the way it, I don't know if you want to be nostalgic, maybe the way it kind of used to be before newspapers started to maybe lose a little bit of oomph in that area. And I just love that.
Well, I like it too, not only from a sports fan and a sports industry perspective, but, you know, with the newspaper circulation declining over the years, you're looking
correct.
For where does the money go? Where can I find what I want to read, and what is it going to cost me? And The Athletic is, what, $3 or $4 a month? And generally, one of you guys always has a, hey, if you check in now, we give you 40% off for the year which is amazing to have that kind of access to the role of writers that you guys have, and it's very affordable. In fact, I would even call it cheap, but I don't want that word associated with the product.
Yeah, that word can mean a lot of things, and that's the main thing. You know, a lot of people they hear paywall, and that's it, and that's fine. You know, everyone to each their own. What I like about The Athletic, they say, look, here's your week free trial. If you don't love it, fair enough. And generally speaking, what happens is people go there, and it was interesting. So my wife is not a sports person, right? She her thing is, you know, go sports. That's her. That's what she says with regards to football. She took a look at the app after I started working there, took a look at my first article, and she said, I never even realized how busy most pages are and how slow they load and how much worse it is. People realize what they're missing when they actually go through a product that doesn't have a bunch of advertisement, doesn't have a bunch of banners and all that stuff. And so it's a cool thing. Most people, when they try it out, they love it. And like you said, the cost isn't bad. And if people check out my pinned tweet on Twitter, there's a discount for Chiefs fans right now that if you click the link, it comes out to where the first year comes out to $350 a month. I mean, that's less than you spend on coffee these days.
On one cup of coffee, absolutely.
Exactly. You know, your double full mocha latte, yeah. Triple whip, whatever it is.
We're talking with Seth Kaiser, who just joined The Athletic KC to do video breakdowns for the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, let's get back into the draft. I know we're a little bit removed from it now, but you had a chance to look at more video. And one of the players I was watching last night was Armani Watts, the fourth-round pick out of Texas A&M, 5'11 safety, just about 200 pounds. And the initial, you know, when the grade cards came out and the gut reaction and all that was, he can go get the football and he's fast, but he can't tackle. So now that you've had a chance to drill into the video, give us a little bit more, because this is a player I think the Chiefs expect to play significant time this year in that secondary.
You know, it's interesting. That one sentence review you gave, it sums him up pretty well. Obviously, you need more context and nuance. Here's what's interesting. For a guy who has a reputation for not being able to tackle, he had 10 tackles for loss last year. He actually made a lot of really heavy impact plays against the run because he has great range. He closes on the ball extremely well. He's got quick recognition, and he's got that burst. It's something you see with Dorian O'Daniel. You could tell they were looking for a specific type of player to plug in back there because they lacked speed last year, especially speed and pursuit. So much like O'Daniel, only even more so, Watts closes on the ball extremely quickly, and he plays very, very, very physical. Now, here's the problem. He does not wrap up. And so he's very feast or famine. So the tackling issues, they're not exaggerated. He absolutely needs to work on it. And he's even been quoted saying that. He's got to get better with tackling. Now, the good news is fundamental tackling is one of the most coachable things in football. That is basic football 101 that really all it requires is someone being intentional about it. And so the good news is when you have a weakness as a player, you want that weakness to be something that's very easily worked out. You can coach tackling. You can't coach range and speed and instincts. Those are the things that he has. With regards to coverage, he's very impressive in coverage. He played all over the field at A&M. I reviewed about 6 or 7 of his games. They had him lining up all over the place. My favorite spot for him was in the deep third of the field, whether it's single high or cover two, patrolling that area because his range is so great. He can cover the entire length of the field very quickly. He's also got a really smooth back pedal, and he moves really well laterally, and he does a great job watching the quarterback and shifting as the quarterback shifts his eyes and his feet. So overall, he really, really impressed me. And given the struggles the Chiefs had at safety last year, it really wouldn't surprise me that much if he were able to push for a starting spot. And I don't like saying that about rookies because you're almost always setting yourself up for disappointment there.
It's a dangerous proposition.
It is, but he's that impressive, especially in coverage. And again, he makes a ton of splash plays. He helps with turnovers. He's always around the ball. Very, very impressive player with that one specific weakness that, again, is fortunately one of the most coachable weaknesses in football.
All right, we're talking with Seth Kaiser, covers the Chiefs, does the video analysis on The Athletic KC, just moved over there. Follow him on Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan, and get a discount on your subscription to The Athletic. All right, you brought up Dorian O'Daniel, who went just ahead of him in the third round, number 100 overall, linebacker out of Clemson. For as much as the reaction to Breland Speaks was maybe that was a reach, When I hear the name Dorian O'Daniel, what I hear back from people is that was a good spot to get a player like that.
I absolutely agree. O'Daniel is it's kind of funny. I'm going to sound way overly optimistic on this draft. These just happen to be my two favorite players in the draft.
Wow.
Nailed O'Daniel, it. Yeah, those two, I really, you nailed it. O'Daniel is an interesting player. You know, he played linebacker, but he's got more the size of a box safety at the NFL level. There's been a lot of comparisons with his size made to, like, Cam Chancellor and that kind of thing. He doesn't have the same ability in coverage that Watts does because he doesn't backpedal very well. He's a guy who needs the play in front of him. He's not a guy you want trying to move backwards and you know, covering deep. However, when the play is in front of him, if he needs to move laterally or forward, he's got tremendous burst, and he just closes in on the ball like a missile. He hits hard, and he tackles very, very well. Unlike Watts, who hits
unlike
really
Watts.
Hard. Yeah, Watts hits really hard. Make no mistake, he has some plays, and I've got an article coming about him either today or tomorrow. He makes some real fast plays, and he hits people hard. Some of those video clips that I have in there are unbelievable, but he just doesn't wrap up. O'Daniel does both. He hits like a freight train, and he wraps up. And so he's a guy, he's got, you know, you always hear sideline-to-sideline speed. The Chiefs, by and large, on defense, had the opposite of that last year. And you saw it way too many times. They just couldn't. If Justin Houston didn't make a play containing the edge, it was over. They just couldn't pursue fast enough. And so you can see a direct response to that. And so O'Daniel's an interesting guy because they say he's going to be in the linebacker's room. When I watch him play, I see a box safety now. I don't see anything more than a box safety. I don't think you want him in coverage too much due to those issues with his back pedal. But his athleticism is so great, and he's got so much range. When he keeps the ball in front of him, he punishes receivers coming into his zones. He makes strong plays on the ball. He even has soft hands. He really, I mean, he's the type of guy, O'Daniel especially, who can change the entire psyche of a defense with his willingness to hit and his ability to hit. And I think that's another thing they're looking for, not just speed, but they want guys that are out there that play with an attitude that are a little bit chippy. And that's something you see with O'Daniel and Watts. You could see them talking to offensive players during the game. You could see that edge, like, you know, they took it personally. How dare you throw it into my zone? How dare you run it towards me? And the Chiefs needed more of that on defense last year, and I think that's where you got these two guys. They've got that attitude and loads of physical talent to back it up.
That was one of the things Brett Veach said during the press conferences last week was, look, that Tennessee game, that was embarrassing, that they marched down the field for 9.5 minutes and we basically didn't do anything about it or didn't have the kind of physicality to do anything about it. I'll move up and kind of going backwards for the top half of the draft here. So Derek Nnadi, the D-tackle out of Florida State.
Right.
Look, Florida State has a reputation for putting solid defensive tackles and defensive linemen in the National Football League. Where does Derek Nnadi rank in terms, maybe even in comparison to Florida State's past, but does he fit that mold of a Florida State defensive tackle?
He's a very solid defensive tackle. Now, I'm not as crazy about this pick as I am Watts and O'Daniel, and the reason for that has nothing to do with Nnadi as a player. He's very, very good at what he does. It's just that what he does is losing value in the NFL. He is largely a two-down run stuffer. He shows a little bit of lateral agility at times, but not enough when he's rushing the passer. So he's a guy that I really like in a certain role, but that role for me is normally like a third or fourth down pick, or like a fourth or fifth round pick. And so here's the thing with him. He is tough to move, even for double teams, and that can be rare up front, where he would have double teams come at him and he would go nowhere. He would even move them and split them. And I think what you see there, the Chiefs, again, you know, you talked about the Titans playoff loss. When Chris Jones got hurt, it was just way too easy for teams, for the Titans to just run away from Justin Houston's side, and the Chiefs didn't have anyone that could save the day on it. You know, Reggie Ragland is more of an in-the-box guy. And you can, when you only have two guys that are good run defenders in your front seven, that's a recipe for disaster. And that's what you saw happen. I mean, you know, it's no disrespect to some of the guys that have remained on the roster, but they struggled in that Titans game, especially when Jones went down. And a guy like Nadi is a guy that you can plug in immediately, and because of his strength, he's got great pad level. He's only 6'1", and so he's always underneath blockers. He hardly ever gets moved, and he's a guy that you can count on, that you could plug him in there if another team is successfully running the ball up the middle and say, okay, it's time to, you know, you put this guy out there, you surround him with linebackers, and he will keep them clean so they can make plays. So I like him a lot in that specific role. I think it was something that needed to be addressed for the Chiefs. But the round in which he was picked, a little surprising to me.
All right, we're talking with Seth Kaiser, does Chiefs video breakdowns for The Athletic KC. We're broadcasting live from Westlake Ace Hardware in Leavenworth, Kansas. A lot of good folks stopping by to talk to us about the Chiefs and the Royals and picking up their bulbs and their flowers to get work in the garden today. Seth, I don't know if it is warmed up enough up there in the Great White North where you are to get the flowers and the plants going. Are you getting close?
We are. I actually just planted a bunch of grass seed in my backyard, and I discovered that I'm a yard guy. I was watering the grass, and I was like, this is kind of nice. I never pictured myself as a guy that would be so soothed watering grass, but apparently I am. I'm getting old.
Well, maybe they'll invent some kind of a video system you can strap to your arm like a quarterback's wristband where you can watch video while you're watering the grass.
That's a dream. I could bring that into the courtroom with me. I could be up front preaching on Sundays and occasionally check my wrist. That's the dream right there.
There you go. I just gave away the billion-dollar app that could have led to my retirement, but I'll figure it out. Hey, in your video analysis, do you get into the free agents that the Chiefs signed, the undrafted free agents?
I haven't yet. There are a few that I've had a bunch of people clamoring for me to look at, and I just haven't been able to get there quite yet. That the problem is there's so many.
Right, there's 25 or 30,
Yeah, exactly. It's difficult to gauge who to look at and who not to. And so I've had a few people make a few suggestions, but what I plan on doing is going through the draft. And then once I'm done with that, kind of looking at maybe who some of the more touted guys are and maybe taking a look at them.
Yeah, the two guys that I was thinking about, and I'll wait for you to get the video breakdowns on those, but the two guys, and probably I'm not the only one, Byron Pringle, the wide receiver from K-State, who went undrafted, who I thought the Chiefs might be good to take a flyer on him if they would have kept their seventh-round picks. But they got him the knock on him is he's a little bit older. He had some trouble in college, which, look, I mean, how many guys in the NFL have gotten in trouble in college? A lot, okay?
Quite a few.
There were two others, the linebacker from Iowa, and all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank because I'm outside and it's hard to look at my screen. But I watch a lot of Iowa football, and I love the linebackers that Iowa puts out. And then also the quarterback from Marshall who put up huge numbers. I just haven't seen a lot of Marshall football, so I'd like to get a look at him. So if you're taking suggestions, Seth.
I am. I will make sure to keep those three in mind, especially as I go through. It's always fun having more film to watch. I love this time of year because there's a bunch of new stuff that I can watch before I go back, and then obviously what I do once I go through the draft picks, then I start reviewing the Chiefs 2017 film, do the offensive line film reviews, that kind of thing.
All right, Seth. Well, we'll look forward to those undrafted free agents video breakdowns, and then they'll be off. They're in mini camp right now for the rookies, and then we'll be rolling into OTAs, and training camp will be here before you know it. Seth, hey, once again, congratulations on your move to the Athletic KC. I know they're going to they got a good person in you to do the video breakdown analysis, and you're in a good spot there because it's a site and a company that's just exploding with all kinds of, I'll just say it, ridiculously talented people. So congratulations, Seth.
Thank you so much. Really excited with what we're going to be doing there in the next year.
All right, look forward to it. That is Seth Kaiser. Please give him a follow on Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan. MN is in Minnesota. Get his video breakdowns, and also you get a discount if you want to pick up a subscription to The Athletic, another good pickup for The Athletic. All right, we are broadcasting live at Westlake Ace Hardware in Leavenworth, Kansas. Stores celebrating the Barbecue Fest today. They haven't got it going yet. Charlie Carlin's keeping an eye on it. But from 11 to 2, everybody's invited. You can get your all kinds of good stuff. They're going to throw on the grill for you here. And register for a chance to win a classic Coca-Cola cooler. You can get one of the 810 WHB Miller Lite koozies. And the Garden Center is wide open. And folks are coming through and pulling right up and load up the flowers. You can pay for them right. You don't even have to go in the store. You can pay for them right at the front door. It's good stuff. All right, we will take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from Westlake Ace Hardware in Leavenworth, Kansas, 3400 South 4th Street. Come on by and see us. A lot of good folks stopping by, talking to us about the Royals and the Chiefs and Sporting KC, getting ready for the Kentucky Derby. The big fight tonight, Triple G. If you want to get out and watch all that good stuff with Stephen St. John at Port Fonda, please do that. I may have to sneak over. I don't know. I got a lot of kids stuff going on today, so I don't know if I can make it out there, but a lot of great stuff going on, and we want you to come out here to our Leavenworth location or any of the local locations. For the Ace Rewards members, if you buy a Traeger, Big Green Egg, or a Weber gas grill, you can get the pellets, briquettes, or the propane exchange bottle for free, plus free assembly and delivery. So all kinds of good stuff, and they're going to get one of those grills fired up here shortly for the Barbecue Fest that's going to take place from 11 to 2. All right, coming up a little bit later in the show, Craig Cummings is going to join us, former professional fighter. He's fought for a world title, and he's going to talk to us about the Triple G fight tonight and what we can expect since we're not getting Triple G Canelo Alvarez on Cinco de Mayo, as we all hoped we would. He's going to tell us what we're actually going to see. And joining us right now on the line is former Wizards Sporting KC defender Nick Garcia. Nick, a very happy Cinco de Mayo to you and your family.
Buenos dias.
My kids are half, so that's I'm kind of in the club, but not really.
That's right. You know, it counts for something, right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right, the sun is out, and we've got flowers going out the door here at Westlake Ace Hardware. Nick, are you a get in the yard and plant things guy, or are you the guy that sits on the lawn chair and watches after everything is already done?
Yeah, so true story. So for me, you know, growing up as a kid in Dallas, I was just brought up working in the yard, helping my parents, and so I've kind of carried that tradition, and I actually enjoy it. I enjoyed it when I played. You know, it gave me and still gives me just some solace and just the ability to kind of go and do my own thing and kind of disappear for a little bit. So I do enjoy the yard work. I enjoy the flowers. And, there's something that kind of takes you back to the soil and the roots.
Well, this would be a great day to get outside. I know you're busy down at Swope Park with the Brookside Soccer Club. Maybe you can have put together a beautification project, even though it's already a great facility. Get some new flowers. Although they have them on on the east side, there's a bunch of new flowers out there?
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff out there at Swope, but you know what? I think the most difficult thing, in all honesty, and I'm not the greenest of the thumbs, but you know, you have all this nature and wildlife that comes into Swope, you know, at nighttime.
Yes.
When everybody leaves, and so even though you might plant some stuff, it might be gone the next morning.
All right, you're listening to the Beautification Hour with Nick Garcia and Brad Porter. Just kidding. Talk a little Sporting KC, and look, you got the home game tonight, 7:30 against Colorado, which you can hear live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nick, I know every team has a couple of these a year. Going into last weekend, Sporting had gone 7 games in a row without losing, on a roll, even playing without a couple of injured players. But you're going to have a stinkeroo sometimes. It's going to happen. So you go to New England, you're playing on that artificial turf, which the players hate, and just didn't really put together much of a – it just didn't look in sync from start to finish, and it cost them a game when everybody stopped running when what they thought was an offside call. It happens, okay, but you'd like to get back on the winning ways. But those things happen.
Yeah, they do. You know, and I think regardless of what sport you play, or you know, what you do, golf, baseball, basketball, soccer, you know, something like that is bound to happen. So I think coaches obviously plan for it. You know, some coaches are probably more they think that, you know, they probably need to do or say more. But then you also have some coaches that just kind of pump the brakes and just say, hey, you know what, this is your free pass. And, you know, knowing Peter Vermes, you know, he's the kind of guy that if it happens, it happens. And as long as you don't make it a habit or a trend, you know, you can kind of work your way out of the funk. But, you know, I think Sporting KC, you know, obviously has had some issues in the past as well with, you know, marquee players, DPs, you know, go-to pillar kind of guys that have struggled with injury or issue. And so, you know, I think now, you know, they might have a little bit of a slump, you know, running into kind of the start of, you know, summer and this Colorado match, I think, you know, could prove one that could be a little bit difficult for this team.
All right, something the players and the coaches as well are going to continue to have to learn to adjust to is the video review, the VAR. So last week in New England, it appeared Teal Bunbury, former Sporting player who now plays for New England, it appeared he was well offside, and the sideline official threw the flag up in the air, and basically everybody on the field stopped playing and stopped running. Teal Bunbury did kind of the half effort thing that you do when you're wide open, just kind of tapping on the net, like, ah, you know, I was offside, but look, I could have been there. And Tim Melia really didn't, you know, lunge at it more than just kind of a half effort. And then they go to the video review and discover that Roger Espinoza had touched the ball, whether or not that's enough to negate the offside. I don't know. That's for another debate. But the players are going to have to get used to the fact that even if they see an offside flag, they have to keep playing if they don't hear a whistle, or things like these are going to happen.
Yeah, man, and that's kind of the issue, right? And I know Peter Vermes is very vocal about the VAR usage, and I think most coaches are somewhat apprehensive, and you're exactly right. You know, you as a player in any sport are taught to play through the whistle, and these guys have got to play. So there might have been a flag, maybe there was no flag, whatever it is, whatever situation, you play through that whistle, and here's the deal, right? So with VAR now, it has to be clear and obvious. If the referee then blows the whistle, he or she could go back and negate the call, goal, whatever it might be. So with Sporting, you know, kind of just letting it go, it was one of those things where they kind of literally get caught with their pants down. It's a goal. It stands. And there is a little bit of gray area, I think, in this VAR stuff, right? The EPL there in England are going to take one more year off using VAR until they actually can implement it and use it the right way. And I was watching the Stoke City game here at Crystal Palace this morning, and there was a similar situation where it was more obvious that the defender had played the ball back to the goalie as he was kind of sliding for it. It went to a Crystal Palace guy. He shot. He scored. And that then knocks Stoke out of the EPL and you know, keeps Crystal City, you know, above water. So VAR is very tricky. I think they're still trying to perfect it. But kudos, I think, to MLS and kind of spearheading this throughout the world right now, because there's not many professional leagues that actually do it.
Yeah, I think that's Don Garber, the commissioner of Major League Soccer, wants to get out in front on a lot of things and be proactive. And if he can get more eyeballs from Europe and around the world watching Major League Soccer, even if it's just to see how VAR, video review, works, that's a positive for the league. And MLS is willing to take the bumps that come along with learning this new system.
Yeah, you know, and MLS now employs a gentleman by the name of Howard Webb. He is a FIFA World Cup referee, and he's very well known. You know, so it's not like they're just kind of herky-jerky and throwing just random people in here. So there is a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of experience that kind of goes into this.
All right, we're talking with Nick Garcia, Sporting KC, hosting Colorado tonight, 7:30, Children's Mercy Park. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Westlake Ace Hardware in Leavenworth, Kansas. All right, Nick, some bad news for Sporting KC this week. Felipe Gutierrez undergoing sports hernia surgery and is going to be out a couple of months. This injury is becoming more commonplace in sports. The first time I'd ever heard about it was several years ago, when your former teammate Jimmy Conrad, I believe, had the sports hernia surgery, and he may have gone to Germany to get it because it was still kind of experimental at the time. but it's become more commonplace. And Felipe had gotten a good start to the season, had scored 5 goals in 5 games, then had a couple of nicks, started to come back last week or the week before, but now he's going to be out a couple of months. How much does this hurt what Sporting needs to do over the next couple of months?
Yeah, I think it's a massive blow. Eiko Parra, Beasler, others have always, kind of been these pillars. And I chatted about this here, the opening comment of the show, and you've got to have your pillars in place. I think Felipe is the kind of guy that this team needs. While it's nice to see Johnny Russell and others, flourishing, we have the dog days of summer coming. Teams are starting to kind of come into form. They, I think, will be able to kind of sort things out, Sporting that is. But at the same time, you've got to push forward. I know Peter Vermes is the kind of guy that always wants to have multiple layers, multiple, guys ready to go. So I think that they can make it through kind of this tougher stretch that's forthcoming. Felipe pretty much, you could call this start of the season kind of preseason, right? He takes a little bit of a break. He now gets to watch a lot of video, do some rehab, come back in, and really probably be utilized when he's going to be most needed towards the end of the season. But, I think it would be nice to see Sporting pick up maybe a few players here in the European transfer window. The team stays healthy. They get some results. They get better. And I think we've seen their potential, right? But this Major League Soccer season is a marathon, and we've got a lot of games to play.
We're talking with former Sporting KC and Wizards defender Nick Garcia. One more thing on Felipe Gutierrez. We know Peter Vermes' goal over the last several years has to build depth into the squad. So if one guy goes down, it doesn't really hurt. Felipe Gutierrez' loss hurts. But is there enough depth to at least sustain Sporting KC where they are in first place or keep up in those top three spots until he gets back or until they get a transfer or two coming in?
That is the big question, right? And here's the deal. He is the highest paid player. The expectation because of his experience in World Cups and other, professional leagues is probably set the highest. So to replace him, no, I don't think you can. But you can probably try as hard as you can to come pretty close. Benny Failhaber's moved on. It'll be interesting to see who Peter kind of starts to push in there. I think one of the benefits of Peter's, method and how he gets this team together is that he can move a few pieces or just one piece and create a similar but yet maybe even more dynamic team. And what I mean by that is maybe you push Jimmy Madranda from one side to the other. Maybe you push him a little bit further up. Maybe bring Salawi in a different role. I think Illy's been phenomenal in his role. So other guys are going to have to pick up, kind of some of the slack. But knowing, Brian Bliss and Kerry Zavagnin very well and knowing that they have been looking, probably since even last year and picking up some other players, I think the onus is now even more important on getting someone to kind of help fill in now that Felipe is going to be out.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the Westlake Ace Hardware in Leavenworth, Kansas. We're speaking with Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Wizards defender, Sporting and Colorado tonight at 7:30, Children's Mercy Park. You can hear the game live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Colorado coming into town tonight, Nick, and this is an organization. I think you and I covering them over the last few years. It's one of those organizations I can never figure out, because they'll have a season where they finish the entire campaign with 9 points. Then all of a sudden they're competing for a Western Conference title. Then they're going back down again. Then they hire a coach with not a lot of experience. Then they fire a coach who hasn't been given a whole lot of time. I really don't understand, not only from year to year, but even game to game, the things that Colorado is doing. Is this a game that Sporting KC should walk out there and not only get the 3 points, but coming away with anything less than 3 should be embarrassing?
Tricky question, right? So,
yeah.
Obviously, you
I
had
put
the
it
Timmy
on you
Howard
there.
Incident. Yeah. You had the Timmy Howard incident last year. I think that kind of helps to escalate this derby. And, it being the closest, rival to Sporting and probably most heated at times, I think it's a difficult one because, like you said, you never know how they're going to play. You never know what kind of team you're going to get. They need points, I think, more than, Sporting, if you had to say, one team or the other did. Sporting is now at home. Sporting didn't have the best of games at New England. So there is some pressure, I think, on Sporting. There's also, like I said, the pressure on Colorado And this being a massive game, really, it's kind of a six-point swing, right? Because the winner takes three, the loser takes nothing, and things are getting very tight early on here, you know, with the likes of an LAFC just kind of starting to get their, you know, feet upon them, Sporting sitting atop the table. So numbers, strategy, statistics, all these things kind of come into play. But, yes, to answer your question directly, if Sporting doesn't get 3 points, I think the fans and Peter and the players will be disappointed more so ever than now.
You know, you mentioned Timmy Howard, and it's interesting how that relationship between the fans in Kansas City and Timmy deteriorated so quickly after the incident last year. I mean, this guy was Captain America, and every time the USA national team came into Sporting Park, Timmy Howard had some of the loudest cheers for players not named Matt Beisler and Graham Zusi than we've ever heard. And then with one incident last year, that's all gone, and the Cauldron is already preparing things for tonight. I don't know what they've got there. I think they've got diving outfits or something on. There's something crazy they're coming up with. But he's now one of the more hated opposing players in the league for Sporting fans.
And think about this, right? You know, and I think it's been a long time since MLS kind of had this hero-villain role, right? And not to say that Timmy is a complete villain, but – you know, Major League Soccer, at least from its infancy, was not built on, you know, these kind of rivalries. You know, I think you've got it in other sports. It is nice to see it when it's appropriate here for Major League Soccer. But I think it's interesting to see that fans are disgruntled, right? Because, you know what it tells me? It tells me that they're paying attention, that they don't like someone for a very specific reason. It's not personal. It is all about, you know, what's happening out there on the field. So I like it as long as it just doesn't get out of hand, doesn't get too crazy, doesn't get too personal.
Well said, but I would not look. I love the Cauldron guys. I went there. I went to a game with them last year, but I would guess it's going to be adults only tonight. All right, we're talking with former Sporting KC and Wizards defender Nick Garcia, Sporting in Colorado tonight at 7:30. You mentioned LAFC, and maybe we'll back up a little bit and take a bigger picture of the league. LAFC playing in their first season, having some early success. Of course, hired Bob Bradley to be their coach, and have some, you know, some big name players on the team. And you'll have you know, we had Minnesota and Atlanta come in last year. Soon we'll have Cincinnati. If Miami ever gets moving again, we'll have them. Is the league moving at the right pace in terms of expansion? Are they moving too quickly, bringing in too many teams in too short a time? What's kind of your observation as you talk to guys around the league?
I think yes, no, a little bit of everything, right? So I think as a player, you like expansion because it means job security.
Jobs, yes.
As a fan, you know, you hope that it means more competition, but really, you know, you're kind of diluting that player pool. I think if you look at how MLS has trended over the years, you know, it's gotten younger and more foreign. So it's somewhat concerning, I think, for domestic players. And I think you could say that, you know, about other leagues in other countries here throughout the world. For ownership, I would think that they like it. It means that more investment, more of a growing structure. I think, you know, obviously MLS wants it, needs Don Garber, I'm sure, is paid handsomely by ownership for expanding the league. But I think if you look at the second and third divisions here in the U.S. right now, they are struggling. The MLS franchises or the soon-to-be new ones could have potentially been great ones in the second and third division. So it's economics. I think it's the actual sport. And, you know, it's really trying to understand how we can kind of grow at a good clip. So I am probably most fearful as a former player and somewhat of a pundit that if we grow too fast, the quality of play will drop off and we will kind of have more of the have and have nots, where MLS back in its infancy was built on that single pillar that, you know, there's equality amongst all the teams. You know, specifically about Bob Bradley, the guy's a phenomenal coach. He's proven himself. He's gotten the right kind of guys. You look at Lee Wynn that he just picked up from New England, who wasn't in the best of situations. Benny Stahlhaber, Simon, the international that scored the first goal there in their new home park. So a lot of good synergies, I think, are happening here for this LAFC team, and especially in a market like L.A., you have got to score, you've got to win, otherwise people aren't going to follow you. Look at the L.A. Galaxy.
Absolutely, and their stadium just looks – I have not seen it in person on television. It looks fantastic. And these new stadiums that are coming online that are built not only just for soccer, But they're built with a flair. There's something special about these new American soccer stadiums that I think is terrific.
Agreed.
All right, one final question for you, Nick Garcia, and I'm gonna set this up on a tee for you, even though you play the football kind that we call soccer. You play golf. How about that? We'll put it on a tee, and you can drive it here. You can drive this. Will get you 350 yards. World Cup is this summer. No United States, which I'm still bitter and angry about, but there's nothing I can do about it. So my kids have been asking me, well, I mean, who are you going to cheer for, Dad? And I can go two ways here, and I'm going to ask you as well. My side of the family, we have a lot of Swedish influence. My wife and the kid's side of the family is almost 100% Mexican. So they're going with Mexico and Sweden both. I don't know what will happen if they play each other, but and I'm going to go for both. I have a Mexico shirt. I'll probably get a Sweden shirt. So on this Cinco de Mayo and the last name Garcia, who will you cheer for in World Cup 2018?
The old Cinco de Derby question. Well, I'm with you on the whole Mexico thing. You know, I like to try to support the teams within our confederation, and obviously Mexico is there. With the U.S. not being there, Italy not being there, other powerhouses, I think an easy one would be Germany because I am, you know, a quarter German. But I don't know who I'd really probably pick for my second. You know, maybe Mother Russia, just because it is at home. You know, if you look at past World Cup performances, Korea, I think Mexico in 86, even USA 94, home teams seem to do very well because they're at home. They have some home cooking. They've been there. They have the fan support. So I would probably go Mexico and Russia for that reason.
How about that? There you go. See, you gave me something I wasn't expecting. You got the 350-yard drive, and you got the roll.
Love it. Power, not accuracy.
Exactly. Nick Garcia, have fun today out at Swill Park. I know you got a lot of games going on with Brookside Soccer Club. And then we'll watch Sporting in Colorado tonight, either at Children's Mercy Park, or you can listen to it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nick, have a fantastic Saturday afternoon.
Appreciate it, Brad. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
All right, that is Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Kansas City Wizards defender, joining us. He goes out to a lot of sporting games. He's got to monitor those officials and send in reports to the league. So got to watch out for Nick. Again, that's live at 7:30, Sporting KC in Colorado, followed by the final whistle with Dave Borchert right about 9:30, right about there. All right, so we need to take a quick timeout here as we continue to broadcast live from Westlake Ace Hardware in Leavenworth, Kansas, 3400 South 4th Street. A reminder that all Westlake Hardware stores today are celebrating Barbecue Fest from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Everybody's invited. Come on out. Stop by and talk to me or stop at your other local Westport Ace Hardware store. It's a neighbor's helpful place. They've got the barbecue fired up here in Leavenworth, so they're just about ready to go. And the other locations, I'm sure, are on board as well. So join us for Barbecue Fest. Should be a lot of fun. All right, a quick timeout here. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. Rudy Salazar is back in the Rally House Studios. And you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter. We are broadcasting live from Westlake Ace Hardware in Leavenworth, Kansas. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. Lots of good stuff to give away. We got the 810 WHB Miller Lite koozies. You can register for a chance to win a retro Coca-Cola cooler, and that's both here at the Leavenworth location and at the Westport location as well. And that's sponsored by Coca-Cola. It's not your typical cooler that you take to your tailgate or your back deck party or things like that. It's metal. It's old school. It's like something you'd see in a movie based in the 1950s, the 1940s. It's got the classic Coca-Cola logos on it, a very metallic look. It's gorgeous. We're about ready to get into the Barbecue Fest, which goes on from 11 to 2. Everybody come on out. They've got the barbecue already fired up. It is right next to our location. I can smell the briquettes and I think they got some wood chips in there. What do they got? The baguettes? That's what they got, the baguettes. Barbecue pellets. Yeah. Good stuff. Also, the Smokin' Hot Grill Sale, plus delicious food samples that you can get right off the grill. And for Ace Rewards members, buy a Traeger Big Green Egg or a Weber Gas Grill and get the pellets, briquettes or propane exchange bottle for free, plus free assembly and delivery. The garden is open. Charlie and I are looking out at the garden area here. They got the flowers and the bulbs and the plants, and it's just gorgeous on this spring day in Kansas City and across the Midwest. And a lot of folks are stopping by to talk Royals and Chiefs and sporting and all that good stuff. We're going to touch on the Kentucky Derby a little bit later in the show. I will say this. I know nothing about horse racing. You throw me a few names here and there going into the Derby. I watched the three Triple Crown races, and that's about it. I cannot tell you anything about horse racing, but I've come up with a little game we're going to play in the next hour that I think you'll like that's based on the Kentucky Derby, and I think Rudy Salazar is going to be the guinea pig for this game show. I'm stealing a game show idea from Mick Schaefer at 41 Action News, one of the things he used to do when he was doing the weekends here. So that'll be a lot of fun. We've had some great guests on today. Al Fitzmaurice talking Royals baseball. Kansas City's won 5 out of the last 7. Back-to-back game against the Tigers. An exciting finish last night after going 7 innings scoreless between the two teams. Tigers get 2 runs on the board off Blaine Boyer in the top of the 8th. It looks like, oh, no, here we go again. The bullpen let us down. What's going to happen? And then the Royals bats come alive in the bottom of the 8th. 4 runs on the board. Jorge Soler continues to be red hot. Got the 2 RBI single. His hitting streak is now at 10 games. He's reached base safely in 19 consecutive games now and is just turning into a good player right in front of our eyes, and we'll see how consistent he can be with that. And the defense, I didn't mention that. In the top of the 9th with the Royals trying to close it out with Kelvin Herrera, who again was terrific, Tigers hit a twisting line drive down the right field line. It's clearly going into foul territory, but Soler on a full dead sprint goes into a slide, grabs the ball, does a little roll before he hits the wall. And it was just a primary example of all the hard work that the coaches with the Royals do, in particular the work that Rusty Kuntz did last year with Jorge Soler and the work that Mitch Meyer continues to do as he replaces Rusty Kuntz, and the fact that Jorge Soler has taken the direction, has taken the instruction, accepted that he was not any good defensively, and worked hard to turn himself into, do we say average yet? No, he's probably still a little below average. They haven't solved everything. But Jorge Soler can look at that, and his teammates can look at it, and his coaches can look at it and say, kid's making progress. He's going to turn into what we think is going to be a quality major league player. Above average offensively, probably. And, you know, if he gets to be an average outfielder, that'll be pretty good considering where he started. So Al Fitzmaurice was kind enough to join us at the beginning of the show. Then we had Seth Kaiser, now of the Athletic KC, breaking down some Chiefs video for us. Nick Garcia, we just wrapped up talking Sporting KC. And coming up next, we're going to talk a little boxing. Triple G fighting tonight out in Carson, California, and unfortunately not against Canelo Alvarez, who failed a drug test. So we're going to talk about it with Craig Cummings, a local fighter, fought professionally for many years. He's also a firefighter, so quite the exciting life. So Craig Cummings coming up next. Talking Triple G and then our Kentucky Derby contest. You're listening to Sports Saturday as we broadcast live from Westlake Ace Hardware in Leavenworth, Kansas. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here as well, giving away great prizes. Rudy Salazar back in the Rally House studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.